In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us as Weird Wolf, Insane Galvatron, Cybern 2, God Convoy, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, and Plasticon Reviews discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 73. I am Weird Wolf. Along with me tonight is Insane Galvatron.
Hello.
And also with us is absolutely no one else, because apparently they couldn't make it tonight, but oh well. I have asked one or two people to join us on the private group, and if they join in, then we'll have an extra person to talk about things tonight. Don't have a whole lot to talk about tonight. Just going to talk a little bit about some news and some cool stuff.
No, there's no topic for tonight.
Yes, well, it's kind of a topic. It's we'll expound upon it a little bit later. But since you didn't get a chance to last week, and we had a almost week-long break for Thanksgiving. How did your Thanksgiving go? I know the guys on Friday night talked about it. So,
it was good. We went up to, I went up. I don't know if I shared this on the podcast, but my wife actually has a concussion. It's a really old concussion from injuries from years ago, and it was starting to cause some problems where she was. I guess she didn't realize she had a concussion. She just knew she had some head injuries. The most recent one was like 8 years ago. And she'd been having a lot of issues where she was being very forgetful and stuttering a lot. So she went to a neurologist and found out that the concussions didn't heal all the way. She has some swelling in her brain. So she is back up in Pittsburgh, where she lived before we got married, because there's only so many neurologists in the country that can do the treatment that she needs. And there's none locally here where we live. The closest ones are over an hour away, one way, and she has to go 3 or 4 times a week. But yet her family, where she lived, where her family lives, there's like one of the doctors is like 10 minutes down the road. So she's staying with her family for all of December and January while she gets these treatments. It's only like 2 months. So, you know, she was up there before Thanksgiving, and so I went up to Thanksgiving with her and her family, and I had a good time. I guess 4 days is, you know, hanging out and playing in the snow and getting to know her family better.
How much snow did they have up there?
About what we had here, just a few inches.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said it was about 8 inches. She said it was more inches than she could handle.
Yeah. Well, I know where my ex-wife, she was originally from the Pennsylvania location, and she said they used to have some really horrendous snows up there. I guess they get a lot of that lake effect snow off the Great Lakes, and also where they're kind of between the Great Lakes and the Atlantic Ocean, it kind of like a double whammy for them. But yeah, it's not a bad thing. Not always. I just don't like working in snow.
No, I had to do that this weekend. It stinks.
Yeah, that's been one of the few good points of not having to work during the season. Is I'm getting a little bit more of a chance to enjoy the holiday as a holiday, rather than, you know, some financial event. You know, I'm trying to make apples out of oranges here, you know. But
you mean lemonade out of lemons?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, where my year's been so down, you know, this holiday season, being able to see the kids and get involved in kids and see Christmas again through children's eyes, it's so rewarding. I mean, you know it. I mean, you've got a daughter, so. Sure. But I've never had that opportunity until this year. I mean, I did a little bit last year, but I'd only known the kids a couple 3 months at that time. So, you know, now that I've had a little time to get to know them. And you know, we're a family now, and it's a lot more special. And the tree just seems to glow a little bit brighter, you know. And
Christmas is it's better when you got people to share it. But that's what's going to be sad is, because of my work schedule, we weren't planning for this. You know, her family usually gets together. We weren't going to go up there. We were going to see my family at Thanksgiving instead of hers was the original plan, and then we were going to see hers at Christmas because her family usually gets together and they're all there like after because they do Christmas in their own homes, and like Christmas Day or the day after they would all go to Pennsylvania and get together for a few days. So I'd actually taken off my vacation time after Christmas, you know, the rest of that week, that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the whole next week on vacation. But now she's there because of the treatments. And so I won't be able to go up until Wednesday on Christmas Day because my daughter will be here and I have to take her back to her mom's on Christmas Day. That's why I can't go before. I could and then come back on Christmas Day, except I have to work Monday. And then we're off Tuesday, Wednesday for Christmas. So it's like I can't really go up there to see my wife. I can't really our first Christmas together and we don't get to spend it together.
Oh.
Because I have to work that Monday and then have to be back on Wednesday to take my daughter home. And it's like a 6-hour drive one way. So it's just logistically I can't work it out to be there.
Yeah.
So I will see her on Christmas Day, but it'll be that evening on Christmas Day. It's not the same, though, being Christmas Eve, Christmas morning.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, if we'd known, I could have taken off before Christmas instead of after. But it's too late now.
Hindsight's always 20/20, too. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and I'm sure it won't be the last Christmas that you all have. So,
well, we got next year.
Yeah, there'll always be Paris, as they say. Well, I want to go on and talk a little bit more about some changes. Those who might not have been able to catch last week's or last Friday's podcast, I want to talk a little bit more about the changes that we're making to the podcast scheduling, not necessarily the podcast itself, but more to the scheduling, and also highlight a couple things that we're doing. First of all, even though the cast isn't really big tonight, normally we'll have at least 3 or 4 people on, and we are going to a twice a week schedule. We'll be going at Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern and also Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, so there will be 2 episodes of TFYLP each week. I still have not got the episodes uploaded yet. I've got them edited and everything, and they're ready to upload. But I've been doing some substantial uploading of some video this past weekend, so I haven't had an actual opportunity to upload the audio from last Friday's episode. So rest assured, they will be coming very soon, probably sometime tomorrow. But the reason is because we are doing a video. We did a video, myself and Sidecutter from Captured Prey. We recorded a video this past weekend highlighting about 10 or 15 products, well, maybe not even that much, about 10 products from CapturedPrey.com and some that you can get in the store. And it's basically a little video to show things that he has up for sale and is available for you to be you or your spouse or loved one who is buying for you for Christmas. They can look on here. You can show them, hey, I'd like to have that, and they can see it visually, see a price, and know what you're talking about, and the things that we've talked about is things that are available now and would be able to be shipped and received before Christmas. And I think it's a really neat concept. I kind of thought of this a couple weeks ago and been trying to get this rolling, and we finally got it rolling. And Sidecutter and I recorded it, and I've been uploading it to a Google Drive that is shared between myself and Plasticon. And Plasticon is doing the editing probably as we speak, and he will release it as soon as he gets it done. Sometime this week. That's what we're hopefully going to do. And it'll help people out in the next couple weeks trying to find presents for their Transformer collector loved one, or those Transformer collectors that just aren't quite sure what they want. You know, maybe they've been given a gift card or with some money on it. You know, like those prepaid debit card or your credit cards. Mm-hmm. And I just noticed in my video that I've got like a little red dot right here. I don't know why. Dry skin.
Well, I think the other good thing of this video is for the Transformers fan who doesn't want to just outright say to their spouse, "Okay, I want this," so they know what they're getting. They can say, "Hey, watch this video,
and
you know
something on this video."
Pretty much everything in this list I don't have, and it's all great. And that way, their spouse can surprise them, but at the same time, they'll get something they want.
Yes, and that's you know, the idea of it came across to me the other day whenever my wife was asking me, you know, what I wanted for Christmas. And I'm like, well, I have pretty much all the stuff I really want right now. And as a
Fortress Maximus.
Well, as
Jen, if you're watching this, he wants Fortress Maximus.
Yes, that is my holy grail. So I really want that. But you know, I was like, well, you know, as a collector, you know, there's always figures that I want, you know, and you know, that's to her and I both, we both discussed this, and you know, Christmas is a time whenever you get your loved ones something that they really want or would really like to have. It's not a time, you know, I mean, there are people that does it, gets socks and underwear or a nice shirt, you know, but
things you need.
Yeah, things that you need. But you know, Christmas to us is a time whenever, you know, if as far as gifts go, you know, we like to get each other or get people that we care about, if we can afford it, something that they like, and that's what we're aiming for. And whenever she asked me, you know, what I want, and I told her, I said, well, I really only want figures right now because there's nothing else that, you know, there's no movies coming out that I'm like clamoring for. I have all the computer stuff I need right now, and you know, we can't afford a PlayStation 4 because and they're
How
not really.
How much are they?
They're $400. They're $100 less than an Xbox One. But
wow, that's crazy money for a game system.
Yeah, well, it does so much and everything, but you know, I really want one of those, but they're just not available unless you pay through the nose, and we just can't afford that. Especially with my questionable financial situation coming up here shortly, you know, it just wouldn't make any sense to go get one of those. But
are you saying the gravy train's about to run out?
Gravy train, yeah. But the idea came to me, you know. I told her, I said, well, talk to a side cutter. And she's like, well, he doesn't know. Does he know what you want? And I'm like, I have things on order at CapturePrey.com that he would have a very good idea of what I would want. You know, and I said, it's not just one thing. I said, there's other things that I'm sure he has. And there's other things, you know, I've helped him out at a couple of conventions, and I've picked it up, and I'm like, ooh, I'd really like to have one of these. You know, he's seen me and heard me say that, so, you know, I'm sure he would have a good idea of what I would like. You know, and then I parlayed that idea. I'm like, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could make a video that other collectors who have spouses that are like mine that love that their honey has a hobby in Transformers, but absolutely cares nothing about it. And that's my wife. She loves the fact that I love Transformers. She loves the fact that I geek out about it, but she could care less about Transformers. She likes the live action movies, but that's all they are to her, live action movies. She doesn't care about the cartoons. She thinks they look cool in the glass cases, but you know, she could really live without them.
In other words, what you're saying is she's in no danger of becoming a trans fan.
No danger of becoming a trans fan. But how do you show them, you know, other than, you know, just Google searching and showing a picture? You know, this is a more informative way, in my opinion, of showing how to showing people to what you would like. And hopefully this video conveys that. And that's,
maybe you should like let me watch this video to see what all's, you know, listed in it, and then maybe you should send it to my wife.
Well, or either that, or you can just wait till it's uploaded and to YouTube, and it'll be on Plasticon's page, and it'll also
be
on
ours. It won't be the same if I send it to her, because I'm not expecting her to buy me any robots. If you send it to her and she doesn't know I told you, then she might be like, oh, hey, I could surprise my husband by getting him a robot.
Mm. Yeah, it's possible. There's mostly third party items on there, but there's a few official items, and it's a really cool list, and I totally agree with all of it. I think it'll turn out really well, and it's especially with Plasticon's production value on it, it'll be really awesome. But that's one thing that we's working on this weekend, and that's why I haven't been able to upload the actual audio yet. But also a reminder, we are running the KFC Justice Iron Paw giveaway. Whenever we reach 100 subscribers on YouTube, we are going to go back and pick one lucky subscriber. And you have to have subscribed to the YouTube channel. You have to have joined our Facebook group, which is an open Facebook group. You don't have to post, but it would be nice if you have. That way, you know, you can interact with us. And also have shared us on a message board, preferably, or any of the global networking stuff. So what are you holding up there?
That's the weirdest minicon. It's the back.
Oh, I'm sitting there. I was trying to figure out what that was. It's really like, distracting.
It doesn't really look like it transforms into a robot at all. It's just
kind of like junk.
It's like an end loader that like you flip the cab up to show a head and then just kind of twist parts around to kind of resemble a human shape. Yeah. But there's no way I think it functions as an actual robot. I mean, you can't grab anything. He has shovels for both arms.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that guy. To finish up what I was saying, though, if you haven't done those three things, then you automatically are ineligible. So it is very important that not only do you subscribe to the YouTube channel, but you join the Facebook group and also share us on a social network, or preferably a message board in your signature. Once you've done those three things and we've confirmed it, one lucky winner will win a KFC Justice Iron Paw. That is brought to you by our sponsor, Captured Prey. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Now, yes.
I saw a thing on Keith's Fantasy Club's Facebook page.
Yes.
Where apparently the Justice, that Iron Paw has, I know they did it first with the Air Dancer, which was like the Slam Dance, their version. They had used the wrong plastic for the legs. It was easy to break.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put out a notice that, you know, contact whoever you bought it from. They're going to send replacement parts made of the different plastic. And you just contact them, and they'll send you the replacement part for the one you already have. Well, they just put out a thing. I saw it earlier today for Iron Paw. Apparently, there's something on Iron Paw that needs to be replaced with a different
part. I think some people are having an issue with the guns not popping out or not being able to come out.
Okay.
Although I don't think it's everyone, and I'm sure it would be.
I was going to say, because I'm sure if that one has the problem, we could get Capture Prey. If KFC is sending those parts to the retailers for free, and the retailers are giving them.
I don't think
we should have no trouble getting a replacement part.
No, I don't think there will be any issues with that at all. You know, this figure, if you factor in shipping, is approximately a $30 value. So you're getting about a $30 toy for free, and all you have to do is subscribe, join, and share. It's that easy. I know neither. It's easy button easy. But I know that neither you nor I have any Ouch My Wallet to speak of.
Well, I did have the thing I forgot to mention last time.
Oh, okay. Go right ahead.
I got the mint and sealed box Machine Wars Optimus Prime. That's one of those toys that I had years ago and sold it like in 2008 and had kind of regretted it because I enjoyed that mold. It's very G1-tastic because it was the Thunder Clash originally. And I kept meaning to pick one up, but it was always on the back burner because even sealed, they were only like $40 to $50 shipped on eBay, sealed. Loose ones were even cheaper. I mean, you get them for 25 or 30. It just, there was no demand for those things. And so I kept putting it off. And then BotCon made Machine Wars their theme last year. And
thanks a lot, Fun Pub.
Yeah, that drew attention to Machine Wars. All of a sudden, they all sold out on eBay, and the two or three that were left were like over $100. And then when one would go up with bidding, it would bid up over $100. I'm like, great. Now, so I bought that lot a long time ago that you were holding for me, the RID stuff and some Machine Wars, and it had a Prime in it. But he was really floppy and loose.
Yeah, it was terrible, dude. I mean,
well, it was mostly just the hip joints. The rest of it wasn't too awful bad. He's a little dirty, but clean it up, it's not too bad. He just had floppy hips. Which where truck mode was bad because, you know, like G1 Prime Transformation, the hips are at the front wheel. So if you're rolling on the table, the cab would just do this back and forth, you know, as you move the truck.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get a better one. And I actually got lucky and found an auction hit on eBay that was the first sealed one. And it wasn't a buy it now. It was a bid up. And I got lucky and it didn't go very high. I got it for like $50 and change. And I'm like, okay, I'm probably never going to see the days of $40 buy it nows again.
Is that
so
shipped,
I better jump on this at 50. Huh?
Is that shipped or is it?
Yeah, it was like, I think with shipping, it was under $60, I think, just barely.
Oh, wow.
And like, you know, I hadn't seen one close that low since BotCon. So I jumped on it, so now I have a minty one. I just got to figure out what to do with that loose floppy one. I'm going to take it apart and try to add a little crazy glue to those joints, just to thicken them up so it won't be so loose. I'm contemplating painting it in Thunderclash colors, since Machine Wars Prime was a repaint of Thunderclash. And I'll never own a real Thunderclash because he's really expensive and has GPS.
Yeah.
So I may paint it as Thunderclash this summer when the weather warms up and I can actually paint.
I think I'm looking at the auction right now, $56.75. Is that the one?
That sounds about like it.
Yeah. Shipping was $12, expedited shipping.
Okay, so we're going to be close. It was a little over $60 I paid.
Yeah, but it's mint and seal box. Yeah. Wow. I was looking at some other of the auctions that they have or that are up there right now for Machine Wars Prime. Here's one that I don't know if it's complete or not, but a loose one sold for $20.
It was probably loose because I've been looking at them for a while. I had it as a saved search. I get the notices on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen several, you know, loose ones that were either incomplete or missing parts or badly yellowed.
Here's somebody that's flipping insane at $109.99 for a mint and seal box one.
It'll sell eventually. I've been seeing them sell for that.
Wow.
But I mean, yeah. I got outbid on some that went up to $100.
You just got lucky and...
Well, either that or everybody who wanted one has finally gotten one, so the prices are coming back down.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see here. Machine Wars Transformers. I'm going to just do a quick search.
Yeah, because this is some good podcasting, searching eBay.
Well, we're talking about it as we're talking, you know.
But yeah, that's the only ounce of my wallet I have is I got that.
Machine Wars Flip Changer bundle.
I've spent money, but it's on stuff I don't have yet. Like, I missed the first two Glacial Bots, but I read it, I think, last time that they're supposed to go to another run, so I went ahead and jumped on the last three. Yeah. Ordered those. Again, I don't have them, but I spent the money.
Well, this will also run into our discussion a little bit here in a bit, so don't go too far into it.
Yeah, but I mean, so I bought those, spent that money. I had actually pre-sold my subscription service, Chrome Dome and Rewind, to a guy on the boards, and the money he paid for those is what I spent on Machine Wars Prime and those Fans Project toys. Well, I pre-ordered the Fans Project toys, and what was left I put toward the Prime.
Yeah. But, let's see. Oh, Luther Winborn asked on here, who won the Steeljaw? Nobody has won it yet. It's still up. Whenever we reach our 100th subscriber, it's kind of an incentive for people to subscribe to the channel, building up the new channel. We only started this channel back in, what was it, June, July, on a regular basis, and
which I think it still has your personal name on it when you go to eBay.
Yeah, it does. And until I can figure out or YouTube allows me to be able to change that, it'll just be under mine. But you can search TFYLP and it still comes up. But yeah, we're just trying to build awareness of our YouTube channel specifically right now. And as we grow, since that is our flagship show, on the video, then the we're going to do prizes as we reach other watermarks as far as the giveaways go. The audio versions will always be available from tftalk.net and also iTunes, and I'm working diligently to get it on other podcast outlets such as Blueberry and other ones as well. I guess we can talk about some other third party stuff before we go into our discussion topic, which I don't know if there will be a whole lot of discussion about it other than
it's a thing that happened.
Yeah, the thing that happened.
Maybe.
But we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a little bit. It involves falling into the ocean. So if you know what we're talking about, then it'll be interesting.
Took a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah. Let's see here. The Clone Droid Project Six Shot. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm unfamiliar. Can you send me a link?
Yeah, I can shoot you.
Because I only know of Hexatron, only Six Shot. I don't know.
Well, from the looks of this, it looks like it is a third-party add-on kit for Hexatron. But from what I'm reading here,
I know somebody's making a quick switch.
Well,
and
that's made
for mine. They've got some remolds to make like a Brainstorm and Soundwave and Perceptor, and I mean, there's four or five different other robots making. They're using now the same mold. Each one just uses a specific transformation for one of those modes.
Hmm.
Like,
well, this here,
I guess he has a jet mode. So the jet mode they used for, you know, Brainstorm.
Yeah.
This and here, the gun mode they use Shockwave.
This here, it actually looks like the they have it's add-on parts. You know, some of it's die-cast and some of it's translucent or paint. It will probably be painted translucent plastic, but it looks like a new sword, new waist piece, or something. New head, new wolf head. Looks like some new rims or something. But what really caught my eye is that Mastermind Creations, the people that actually produced the Hexatron figure, or produces a Hexatron figure, has stated on Weibo that any retailer that sells the knockoff will no longer receive Mastermind Creations product. So, yeah, it looks like they're really going hardcore with being knocked off amongst other third-party companies.
Oh, so they're not just making new parts for Hexatron. They're knocking off Hexatron and just changing stuff.
It looks like it. If they're not, then I don't understand what the reasoning behind that post in this is. You know, if you can look, scroll down just below, like the really big picture with like the chrome legs and everything over there, mm-hmm. And then right underneath there is a quote. And we're on TFW 2005 right now, for those of you who are listening. Clone Droid Project Six Shot is the topic that we're looking at. And it's in the very first post. That's... Knockoffs, it's kind of a love-hate relationship for them with me. I kind of didn't mind it as much whenever they did some G1 figures, seeing as how some of the G1 figures go for ungodly prices on eBay, and it would be a cheap way for me to get a minty one.
They're doing stuff that's out of production, but I mean, Hexatron is still readily available.
Yeah.
They're just going to improve it. Okay, we're going to take your design, we're going to improve it, and then offer it at a similar or cheaper price.
Yeah,
then that's pretty low. Like I would not approve somebody doing. Like, knockoffs of current toys are fine if it's those weird, wacky knockoffs. Like, Plasticon had that Bruticus set that had two Dark of the Moon wreckers in place of two of the, the combiners. Okay, that's a wacky knockoff, even though the wreckers and Bruticus are available, not with those limbs. I don't mind that stuff, but, like, to make an exact copy of something you can buy on the store shelf cheaper, that's kind of, to me, that's kind of low. So yeah, this, I don't know how I feel. I'm not a big supporter of this, although I will admit the parts they're improving do look better than the ones on Hexatron. Like that wolf head looks more like a wolf. I think his head looks better than the one he came with. So I mean, I think, you know, they're making improvements I think look better, but if they were to sell this as an upgrade kit, like buy the Mastermind Creations Hexatron and then get our upgrade parts, I'd be fine with that. But if they're knocking off the whole toy, that's just, I don't know. I'm conflicted on that.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Did you see the picture of the silhouettes?
Yeah.
I'm more interested in those other two silhouettes than I am Sixshot himself.
Oh, the, let's see here.
Look, Motor Master and Overlord. Because I'm wondering if, I mean, it says we will improve the original items and update the accessories that you get more advantages. I mean, there's no third party, I mean, there's a third party Motor Master, but it looks nothing like a silhouette. And I doubt they could be knocking off a Fans Project thing this quickly. It hasn't even been released yet. How could they, unless it's just something they're planning to knock off.
Which it's which Diesel, by the way, has been delayed until sometime mid-January from sources that we've seen.
I'm going to have to ship my pile of loot without him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
As he was what I was waiting on. But yeah, I mean, I love Motor Master. He's one of my favorite Decepticons. And if they're just knocking off a Fans Project one, I probably won't get it. But if it's a unique design, I may jump on board for that. I don't know if they could just upgrade the G1 when it worked. Because my first thought when I saw this was, well, maybe, because there's really no third-party Overlord. I mean, I guess there is one, but it's kind of crappy and way too big. I saw this. I thought, well, maybe they're going to take the G1 Overlord and just articulate him and upgrade him. Because it says, we will improve the original items. Okay, G1 Overlord with articulation. But really, just adding articulation to Motor Master wouldn't make him a better toy. So, I mean, I don't know exactly if that's a new design, the Fans Project one, or what. But I'm intrigued to see what they do with Motor Master and Overlord.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always interested to see, other third parties' interpretations. But, if they're going to do a Motor Master, then, what would be the point in doing Motor Master if you're not going to do the other four Stunticons? And seeing as how Fans Project has a really good jump on that, seeing as how those four Stunticons have already been released, and Diesel is just, within a month away, it's kind of going along the lines of the third party Six Shot. I really don't, there's like three people that's already, or three companies that are already putting out multiple versions of Six Shot, and in a market where third-party toys are so expensive, it kind of makes me wonder, how many people would actually go out and buy multiple versions of the same character from different companies. I mean, with me, I would go with the one personally that looked the best to me. But
here's the danger of this: is third-party prices are so high because they limit the production run. The reason the production runs are limited is because they don't have the market, because they're not selling, tens of thousands of units to Walmart or Target. So that's why they're higher priced to begin with, because it's a smaller market they're aiming for, because they're aiming at collectors. And what concerns me about stuff like this happening is, they're pricing it because they have to at least make some money, or at least get their money back on what they're producing. And so when you have three Predakings, well, there's only so many people that are going to buy a third-party Predaking at $500+.
Yeah.
And so when you divide that market by three, all three companies can end up losing money. And all it takes is one project on these third-party companies being small, mostly fan-run. All it would take is one project to tank. And, that the individual person, it's just like running a convention. If it tanks, then the individual doing it could be in looking at bankruptcy, and he's done. I mean, these third parties, I know people say competition is good, and from the customer perspective, it is. Because, like you said, you have a choice, which instead of saying, well, that's the only Predaking there is, you can say, well, hey, I like the design of this one better than that one. And it gives the customer choices, but it could end up bankrupting all the companies, and which would be bad. I'd much rather, they... one company's making Predaking, another company make Bruticus, and another company, make Abominus, instead of three Predakings. Because in that way, everybody who's going to want them is going to be like, okay, well, if you want an Abominus, there's only one. If you want a Predaking, there's only one. So that company gets all the business for that character and helps them make sure that they stay viable to keep putting more product out later.
Yeah.
So that's my concern with, and I know there's the lead time. I mean, it's, you know, some of these companies know each other, but some of them don't. You know, it's like Mastermind may have not known TFC was working on a Predaking until they were already invested deep enough into it, it was too late to back out. So by the time they found out there were two others in the works, this all had the same idea at the same time, which is really unfortunate. Yeah. But I'll be interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, you know, there's also kind of switching gears here. I do want to mention something else that has recently popped up, it's actually been, you know, I've been seeing more and more spoken about it in the last couple months than ever before, and that's this BMOG, the Biomechanical Ordnance Gestalts, Ursinal versus Mantax. These are apparently figures that are designed by Trent Troop, who has designed some figures and some things for Fun Pub and Hasbro themselves. This is kind of like a little project of his own, and they are mainly, it looks like, not necessarily transformable. They're transformable in the sense that you can dissect them apparently and reassemble them into different forms, but not necessarily transform. You know,
they're basically parts formers.
Yeah, parts formers.
There are no hinges or joints. It's just all, you know, like 5mm pegs and holes.
Yeah,
they're kind of like building blocks, except the building blocks look like guns.
Well,
and so whatever weapon.
And well, kind of. To me, they seem a lot like the Kreons, in a way. Mm-hmm. That you can take them apart. You know, you have one form, you can take them apart and then put them back together in a different form and everything. But what makes these things cool is that they're transformer compatible, and that's what they're being advertised as. So you can basically, like, it looks to me like from one of these pictures, if I'm looking at it right, you could take like one of the legs of the beast off and it becomes like a pistol.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and
well, I heard an interview that he did on another podcast. I think it might have been Radio Free Cybertron.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was saying, like, the BMOG originally, the Biomechanical Organic Gestalt or whatever, was actually an afterthought. Mm-hmm. Because the project, when he started it, as far as trying to get the concept down, do the CAD work, you know, and get prototypes made and all this, you know, BMOG stood for Bear Made of Guns.
Yeah.
And then he said, of course, then because that was the project name, somehow it got out there. And like, okay, well, we got to work with that. We're obviously going to do more than just the bear. So they came up with the Biomechanical. So, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. Each of the parts is supposed to be an individual weapon. Like, that bear will break apart in, you know, 5 or 6 pieces, however many there are, and each piece is a weapon.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, you know, you've got, it looks like, for those of you who don't know exactly what we're talking about, there is a website. It's bmogtoys.com, bmogtoys.com, to see more information. Looks like there's going to be two versions, the Ursinal versus Mantax, and one the Ursinal looks like it's the bear one, and then Mantax turns into like a manta ray. And they look like they're about a little bit bigger than the size of a quarter. So, you know, these are basically Micro Master or Mini-Con sized convertible figures. And I really like this idea. I mean, whenever I first read it, I'm like, yeah, take it apart, put it back together. I'm like, oh, okay, so it can become like pistols and everything. It's almost like a scraplet or something other. The idea to me comes across as like a scraplet that, you know, he can take this transformer apart, put it on his arms and on his legs, and have like dual pistols. And then whenever he needs like a little sidekick, they can fly off and then come together and kind of like that in Transformers. What was it? Revenge of the Fallen, or is it the first one, that those little bitty beads that was rolling around on the floor.
Revenge of the Fallen as a Reed Man.
Yeah. You know, they like multiple pieces came together and formed this one one figure or one character.
Well, I'll tell you what it made me think of, because I was kind of wishy-washy on it when I first heard about it. I was like, oh, I kind of like it. It sounds like a neat concept, but, you know, I like my Transformers transform. I'd much rather have a Target Master that turns from a gun to a robot, whether it be a robotic bear or cat or humanoid. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really like the idea of the parts forming. But what sold me on it was the day I realized it's pretty much like Metroplex is a partner six gun, a robot made of guns. It's like, okay, he's a robot, and you take him apart and make like multiple guns for another robot to use. And that's pretty much what these things are. They're like six gun, except really they're small. Animals and really small. Well, they're made to work with deluxe figures instead of a huge Metroplex. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like six gun, but animals instead of a humanoid shape on the robot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I dug the concept in G1 when it was six gun, so I can dig it for these guys.
And so that
really made me warm up to it when I realized that.
I'm really interested in these guys, and if they're made available through different outlets like CapturedPrey.com, I would definitely go for some of these. They're really cool. To me, I would almost give like the bear to like Soundwave, even though he doesn't become a cassette. You know, it just seems like something he would have. And even maybe the Manta Ray, because it kind of looks like a little spy guy. But, you know, I would love to get
the Manta Ray would work with that BotCon with either Sea Spray or that BotCon Octopunch.
Yeah, very nice. Very good ideas.
They got dinosaurs coming out next. Well, not dinosaurs. They're the creatures that a lot of people think are dinosaurs, but actually aren't. Like there's a pterodactyl, and then there's that whatever the dinosaur thing is. It's got the big razor spike thing on its back.
Oh, yeah.
That's like their wave two.
The Dimetrodon.
Those look cool. I'm probably more excited about those than I am the bear.
Yeah, I'd like to get Trent Troop on here if at all possible, and talk to him about it on our show. So I'm going to try to get some feelers out there, and if anybody knows Trent Troop, tell him that TFYLP would love to have him as a guest on our show and talk about the BMOG. It's a really cool concept. I was intrigued by it whenever I first saw it, and I believe I saw somebody had tweeted about it, either tweeted about it or shared it on Facebook where I first saw it, and I was instantly intrigued. And I see the usefulness and the coolness of these little guys. But I also want to remind people that we do have a YouTube channel that we are broadcasting live on as we record. And let's see here. Luther Winborn says Chrome can't find that website. I was just reading it off the thing here to make sure it actually exists. Yeah, it's BMOGTOYS.com. BMOG Toys. It came up for me. We are on YouTube, and you can interact with us on the YouTube channel in the comments section. And we also are monitoring the Twitter feed at TFYLP. So if you have any comments or questions about our broadcast as we are broadcasting, feel free to mention us at TFYLP and ask your question there, or on Facebook or on YouTube. As I'm reading these comments right now, it's where I just saw viewer Luther Winborn was having trouble pulling up that website. But it's B as in boy, M as in man, O as in ocean, G as in girl, toys, all one word, and then .com, and it should come up. Let's see here. Let's move on to our discussion topic. It's not going to be a huge discussion topic tonight, because there's not a whole lot to it, but I'm sure we can go on about it for about 10 minutes at least. Insane Galvatron mentioned a few moments ago how he had missed out on the first two components of the Fans Project Glacial Lord, but went ahead.
If any listeners happen to have an extra set they'd like to sell me, it would be really appreciated, and you get a shout out on the podcast.
But you also put in your order for the remaining three. I got my order in about a week ago. Well, not even quite a week ago. Maybe about 4 days ago. And we just got notification on fansprojectcore.com it was actually yesterday that the shipment of the three remaining bots was getting loaded, and apparently the shipping container that contained Mega Zero, which is the component that turns into like the prehistoric elk or deer. I'm kind of leaning more toward an elk because of the shape of the antlers, but deer also works, however you want to call it. But apparently the shipping container got destroyed by falling into the ocean. And I will read it verbatim. This is the press release on fpcore.com, the website where you can order the retro future toys. Dear FP Corps members, we just got word from our freight carrier that due to a catastrophic event, our entire shipment of Mega Zero figures has been destroyed. Here's a message quoted from our carrier. We regret to inform you that your part of the goods does not reach, and I want to remind listeners that this is probably a translated block of text here, so it won't read very sensibly, so bear with me. You have shipped the whole amount of RFGB03 action figures, RFGB04 action figures, and RFGB05 figure. In your ship launch, we find a mistake. One of your product is improperly moved to another shipment container. When we tried to find the right product and during exercise lifting RFGB05 Mega Zero, all box RFGB05 has breached the side of our transport ship and has been lost. The CTNS has sunk in our oceans and is not able to be efficiently retrieved. Coincidentally, the crane operator was examining your Mega Zero product for his own enjoyment, and he was not pay attention to what he was doing and caused the mistake. This is our mistake. We will work with you to quickly resolve this issue and provide assistance to restore your product. We are very sorry for this and cannot give consideration to your situation. In any case, we will help to ensure that your product can recover for your customers. We have notified your manufacturer dispatch of this situation by phone. They will provide more information to us today. So, long story short, Mega Zero was destroyed by a crane operator that got to looking at the toy and was enjoying the toy, wasn't paying attention, and apparently knocked the shipping container off into the freaking water.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, the whole idea was they were trying to move them to the correct container so they go where they were supposed to be going, which usually when the ship leaves, everything goes to the same place. Being a separate container should not have affected it getting from China to Canada or wherever it's going. Which I think I did some digging and some Googling on, and I think one of the things I found was that there was a port in Canada over on the western coast, the west coast, that was where the ship would have been docking when it came across. And it doesn't make any sense that they need to move it from one container to the other to start with. And then secondly, if the product was in the container, how could the operator have been enjoying it and then dropped? I mean, he had already retrieved it from the container, in which case it would have been safe. It doesn't make any sense how playing with the toy could have caused him to wreck the toys that were still in the container, because wouldn't it have already been out? It makes no sense. It just logically makes no sense.
Yeah, and if you consider that the crane that operates and moves these big, huge shipping containers, which, some of them can be fitted on the back of tractor trailers and become a trailer themselves. Mm-hmm. These are large shipping containers, and there are large cranes that move these on and off of these big boats. that come over from overseas.
And oh, they stack hundreds of them on a boat. I mean, I can't see them digging through hundreds of containers to dig out these two so they can move product from one to the other when they're all going to end up at the same port on the other side of the ocean anyway. This story, it sounds like a cover story, except it's so ridiculous nobody would come up with that for a cover story. I don't know. I'm at a loss. I have no idea what's actually going on here.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I don't believe this story as it's written.
I don't either. I really, whenever I first read it, I'm like, okay, what's the joke here? And then I realized, hey, this is an official press release from Fans Project, which, you know, Fans Project doesn't mention very much. You know, I mean, they're not exactly known for getting their news out there in a timely fashion.
Yeah, communication is not their strong point.
No. And, you know, that's not a knock. You know, I mean, they're a toy company. They just want to get their stuff out there. And, you know, it's not I don't want to say it's not important for them to talk to the customers, but not necessary. You know, their communication with vendors it would be far more important than talking directly to the customers. You know, they could just as easily, you know, for broken products or anything, just as easily deal with the vendors and let the vendors worry about getting product out, you know, replacement pieces out. But you know, that's all just here and there.
You know what else I think was on that boat?
Drugs.
A bunch of salt, because that's what you need to take this new story with. A few grains of salt.
Either that or you have to be on drugs to believe this story. But, you know, I mean, whenever I saw this story, I'm like, that can't be real. I'm like, wait a minute, this is on Fans Project Core. Well, I saw it actually quoted somewhere, and then they gave a link to the source, and it went right back to the Fans Project Core website. So I'm seeing this as possible. Two things. One, something really did happen to the shipment. Whether some goofball dumbass was playing with a toy and knocked a shipping container off into the water, or it just fell off, for real and was destroyed, that possibly could have really happened, and the shipment of Mega Zero is gone. Or two, they want us to think that, you know, Mega Zero is lost, and they're going to have to produce more and get them out at a later date, and they're going to ship all of these guys in the next week or so, and everybody get their shipment, and Mega Zero is going to be in there, and it's going to be a big Christmas surprise for everybody. Hey, look, you know, they didn't get destroyed.
I hadn't thought of that option.
You know, so it might be a big Christmas surprise for the fans.
I thought one of two things. I thought either that it really was destroyed, and the story's an embellishment. You know, like the factory was
trying
to...
That's why I'm leaning towards.
It's like, okay, we just destroyed all your stuff, but, you know, when we tell you that, we're going to do it along with a compliment just to make the news a little easier to take. Like, oh, yeah, well, this whole thing happened because your product is so awesome. The guy, you know, wasn't paying attention to what he was doing because he's playing with your thing. It's like, it's like they're trying to compliment them as they give them the bad news. Yeah. So I figured it was either that or it's just another delay, like Diesel got delayed and Fans Project decided to have some fun by throwing out a funny story, you know, for the delay. That were the two options I considered. I didn't even think about the possibility that they're going to show up anyway. So I guess it's one of three possibilities.
Yeah. Well, I really liked somebody's idea on TFW. Somebody said it'd be really cool if they made Mega Zero with water-damaged box.
Yeah,
because you know
they got all the damaged boxes. Yeah, know.
For people who don't know the retro future bots, they come in a retro styled packaging that has been artificially worn to make it look like it's vintage. Which, you know, some people love it, some people hate it. I'm one of those that love it, but I understand those that hate it. You know, they want their...
maybe that's already the plan. Because, you know, like Tusker has like the heavy sun fade. I think the first two that you have, they just have a lot of like, corner wear. Box, I guess, looks mint, but it's printed on corner wear.
Maybe
that was the whole thing, that this one particular product is going to have the false water damage. And so this story is just to precede people receiving the toy. So when you get it, it looks water damaged.
That's what I'm leaning toward. And you know what? What would be freaking cool if they had a little plastic piece of seaweed that gets stuck in there.
Or
you open it up and they're
the package. Yeah. They just get printed on like all the other fake damage.
Yeah. That would be hilarious.
Well, see, now they've got to do the repaint of this set in Seacon colors. It you know, it's got to happen now.
I don't know about Seacon colors. I'd like to be. I'd like to see them in like not the seafoam bluish green, but do like white and blues.
Well, yeah. I was making a joke about the fact that since one of them was dumped into the ocean, you know, they need to be in Seacon colors.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't actually want them those colors. It was supposed to be a joke. But yeah, the Arctic colors. Somebody did a Digibash where they put in some white and teal and purple.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked pretty good. The Tusker looked pretty good in those colors, but I would rather see white, like Tusker the elephant, make him look like a white elephant. But then have like the highlight colors,
well,
be like white, blue, and dark blue,
like Ultra Mammoth.
You know, yeah, or yeah, he was like a blue, but yeah, he used like white and then like light blue and dark blue, or mm-hmm. you know, just a regular like a yeah. nice you know blue and then a lighter blue. You know, so you got blue, light blue, and white. I think would be good colors to make them feel very Arctic.
Yeah. Or another idea would be to give this whole set a like a Beast Wars repaint or redeco, and like Tusker, make him you know paint him up like Big Convoy, and you know like Fangro, make him like Cheetor. You know, just, I don't know who the other guys would be, but
yeah, I don't know if they look like a reindeer.
Yeah.
There's no Beast Wars character like that.
There might be a Japanese character that way, but I'm not going to sit here and Google search that. But
no clue.
I don't know.
Well, I'm curious to see what they do with this line next. I mean, this is ridiculous. I think we're going to get our toys eventually. I don't know what.
I'm not worried. I'm not mad about it either.
No, I just think it's silly. I mean. Like I said, the story is so crazy. It's too
good to be true. I guess.
It's so out there. It can't really be believed.
Well, I mean,
it's almost too crazy to be made up because nobody would make up a story that goofy. Because if you make up a story, you want it to be believable.
Yeah.
But then the second
especially
thing,
if you're covering something up. You know?
There's so many logical holes in this thing. Like he was playing with the toy. That's why he dumped him in the ocean. Well. If they were already secured to get one out of the container to be playing with it, they should have been no danger of falling in the ocean. You know, the whole thing makes no sense. It doesn't. It's too illogical to be true, but too outlandish to be a lie. So I don't know what to I don't know what to believe. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to like, as long as I get my toy, I don't care.
Well, I mean, I have to admit, my first reaction was whenever I read it, I'm like, what? That's retarded. No, that can't be real. You know, that's exactly how I reacted. I'm like, what? You know, this ain't real.
Well, especially if you remember the letter I read on Friday about asking them if they're going to do another run of the first two. They're talking about, like, the factory is real busy and trying to secure time. That's why it's going to be, like, sometime next year before they can do another run. Okay, so that was their answer to doing another run of basically everything. What's the likelihood that they can take this one figure that got destroyed and then, like, oh, the factory will hurry up and run and do another run of that right now so we can get it out, like, a week or two late. It you know, I mean, if what they told me in that email was true and this story is true, it should be sometime in the spring before they could get these things out.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe it will be. I don't know. Do they really give a time frame on there?
No, they really don't. The closing of the email or the post on fpcore.com says, we at FP Core are devastated and can only picture in our minds what a cruel demise Mega Zero has had sinking to the bottom of the ocean floor. We are working on a solution with the manufacturer to make sure that all pre-orders get fulfilled ASAP. We are informed that we will still receive the same amount of figures produced as originally intended, so we can still stick with our release plans as closely as possible. So that means that, you know, that they think they can get these in hand really quick. That's the way mm-hmm. I'm taking it. We also will be shipping out Tusker and Razor Spike as they arrive. For those who have already ordered Mega Zero together with Tusker and Razor Spike, we will ship Mega Zero out at our expense when he arrives at a later date. We will keep you updated on this situation, FP Core staff. So... What do you think, maybe, like, going along with my idea the other day, or I mean, not the other day, a few minutes ago, you know, like Mega Zero being a Christmas surprise, you know, the first shipment of the Retro Future guys, which was Tusker, or not Tusker, but Fangro and Tail Club,
mm-hmm.
seemed like everybody was getting those at the same time. You know, because I went on and I posted, and it's like everybody was like, yeah, I'm getting mine today. Mine's out for delivery today. Mine's, you know, I got mine today. So pretty much everybody was getting these at the same time because they mass shipped them all at the same time. So, you know, it's within reason that they could get these to people by a certain date. You know, what if they sent out Tusker and Razor Spike, you know, like this week? Sometime this week, and we get them next week. And then, like, the day before Christmas, this mysterious box shows up, and it's Mega Zero. Merry Christmas.
I don't know. There's extra shipping costs in that. They're paying double the shipping.
Yeah.
I think I don't think they're going to lose money just for a Christmas present.
Yeah, but, I mean,
if anything,
this story, lines, I mean, is not professional.
Yeah, well, if anything, along those lines, I could see them putting all three in the box. They put the story, so when the box shows up, you're only expecting two of them. Then you open the box, and they're all three in there. Like, oh, Merry Christmas. You got the one you didn't think you were getting.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. But I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. You know, I still think that it's going to have water damage to that box, you know, fake water damage.
Yeah.
And this story is just to kind of help explain that, just part of the experience of buying these toys.
Yeah. What if there's some fake aging or wear on the toys? They made them with rusted screws.
I got it on rusty screws and pins.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome.
I mean, just give that toy a little extra flavor, you know. That would be awesome. Well, I believe that'll wrap up this episode of TFYLP. We thank you for joining us on this new edition of TFYLP on Tuesday, December 10th, 2013. A reminder, we are beginning to broadcast as of this week. We're going to be broadcasting twice a week. So there will be one more episode later this week on Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And on that show, you can look forward to the crew of myself, Suede 66, Trans Jazz from Slagicon, and Plasticon Reviews. We will talk about different subjects on each show. So each week, you know, you don't have to tune into one show and say, well, they're just going to talk about the same thing on the next show, because we're not. We're going to talk about different things on different shows. This is also to expand out our content and give people something to enjoy more than once a week, and also give people a regular time that they can expect to join us each week. You know, it's like, it's Tuesday at 8. I want to listen to TFYLP. I want to watch TFYLP. Friday nights at 8. If we go long, most likely it will be on Friday nights, because quite frankly, a lot of people are off on the weekends and are not having to get up at the crack of dawn on Saturday, so they can stay up a little bit later on Friday night. So we may tend to go a little bit later. I do want to kind of put it out there. I want to talk with amongst the crew about this, but I want to kind of put together a nice little roundtable episode to put out Christmas week, and talk about some things, kind of formulate our ideas. It might be Christmas week or the week after Christmas, kind of between Christmas and New Year's, and make it like a year in review 2013 from a Transformers fan's perspective. I really don't know what else will entail about that. Just kind of been formulating the ideas, and like I said, I want to talk to the crew about that and do a big roundtable where we will have pretty much everybody that is involved with TFYLP on. And listen for more information on that. Saint Galvatron, you got anything left before we close?
No, I think that's it. Well, I just want those first two. I hope the orders go back up for those first two. I don't want to have 3/5 of a combiner.
Well, I'm sure there's enough demand for them. They'll have at least one more run.
Is you would think they would produce these all in equal numbers because nobody's going to want just one or two. Everybody that gets these is going to want all five. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how the orders for the first two could sell out, but the last three are still up.
I'd love to have a whole set to keep sealed.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying I can't see people buying the first two and not buying the next three. I don't understand how the first two pre-orders could sell completely out, but yet for the last three, if all those people bought again, plus people like me who missed the first two bought the last three, and yet those are still available for order, come on. They got to have more of the first two somewhere or coming or something. It just doesn't make any sense for the first two to sell out and the last three not.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I believe that'll do it for this edition of TFYLP. Thank you again for joining us. I am Weird Wolf with Insane Galvatron. We will see you next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern here on YouTube, and look for the downloadable versions of both last Friday's and this evening's episode of TFYLP on tftalk.net and iTunes. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.